Russia up the Florida. You rang me, Lord.
I'm Susie Brown, and I played Poppy Meldrum in You Rang, Lord, for about 3 or 4 years. So how did I get, actually? I didn't have the sort of agent that would know about those sort of jobs coming up. I had met David Croft when I was in a play in the West End called Daisy Pulls It Off. And Susie Beagley was in that play with me, and she had been in Heidi High. And I very much wanted to do some TV. And she said, oh, I can introduce you to David. So she very kindly did. And he was charming. And he said, you know, I have my cast for Heidi High. If I got you in for an episode, I'd just be able to give you one or two lines. It's not worth you leaving this lovely show for. But keep in touch. Jesus, at the end of his life on the cross, said, it's finished. Could you say at the end of your life, yep, it's finished. I've done what I came to do. And I was thinking, right, you know, what do I really want to do? You get one chance at this life. So I was working at Pitlochry Festival Theatre, and I was reading a book on how to fulfill in your life your kind of your big dreams. And one of my dreams was to be in a sitcom. And there were no sitcoms at that time on television that I'd like to join. But I was thinking, who would I like to work with, and who do I know? And obviously I'd met David Croft. So I was thinking, right, I must get in touch with David Croft when I get back to England. And I had become a Christian a few years before that. And my flatmate was a Christian. And she said, you do a lot of talking to God. Do you ever do listening to him? So it's like, it's a relationship. It's a two-way relationship. And I thought, oh, well, how do you know it's him speaking, and so on? But should I just go into your room and have a chat with him and have a little listen? So I thought, OK, can try that. And I just sat quietly, and just thought popped into my head. Like, you must think, you know, you say, oh, I must go and do my shopping. It was just a thought like that. Phone David Croft before you go home. I was about to visit my parents for the weekend. It just popped out of the blue. And I thought, oh, how odd. I could do it probably when I get back. No. You need to phone him before you go home. So I thought, oh, that's a bit scary. So I phoned him up and got his PA answered. And she said, oh, it's funny you should phone. David's going to be casting for a new sitcom tomorrow. There are two kind of young girl characters. And she explained the two characters. One was Poppy and one was Sissy. She said, which do you think you would be right for? Now, I don't know if you know, you know, in the business, this does not happen. And Bernadette was her name. I remember she said, to this day doesn't know why she said that to me, because she had top agents phoning her wanting to get their clients cast in this sitcom. And she was just saying, submit the details, you know, knowing full well she just bung them in the bin. She does not know why she described the two characters and why she said to me, which would you be right for? And would I like to come in for an audition? And I said, just 1 minute. I just need to put the phone down. I'll call you right back. I put the phone down and I went, in my flat, I couldn't believe this was happening. So I phoned her back and I said, hello, it's Susie Brown again. I think I'd be absolutely right for Poppy. So she said, well, David would like to see you on Monday. So I went home for the weekend just thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. And I had a complete crisis of confidence. I just thought, you know, I was probably about 4 years older than Poppy should have been. And I had very little TV experience. And there'd be other girls that would be prettier and more experienced than me. Anyway, I just thought, come on, you can do this. And I absolutely love the 20s. I'd had 20s themed 21st party. So I put on a kind of a drop waist dress that was quite 20s and some pearls. I did my hair in kind of Marcel waves on the train in the loo, very glamorous. Got to the audition, looked at the script, and again in the loo, and thought, this is just me. This character is just so me. I can't believe it. I want this. I went in, there was David and Jimmy, and you know, said hello, and I sort of read for the character. And then David went, well, you're a real pain, aren't you? And I said, what? He said, well, we thought we'd found our Poppy earlier in the day. And I went, no, you haven't. She's here. And they said, well, we'll have a think about it. And, you know, off I went. Again, I forgot to say, on the way from the station, this little voice said to me, you know, I was absolutely panicking that I wasn't good enough for this. And it just said, the part's yours. This voice was going, it's yours. Anyway, I waited and I got a phone call from my agent and said they want to see you for a recall, you know, for a, and so I just thought, oh my gosh. And by this time I'd learnt all the lines, and this time it was just David in his office at the BBC, had his feet up on the desk, kind of relaxed back in his chair, and I was just giving it my everything, and he just cut me off halfway through and he went, yeah, it's all right, the part's yours. And I went, what? And he went, yes, it's yours. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, I'm so excited I could hug you, but I'm too shy. And he went, oh, don't let that put you off. And it was just, I felt like I was in a dream, and his assistant had to practically push me out of the door. So that is how I got it. I have to say it was, and I did an interview for the Sun newspaper while we were doing the show, and there was this double page spread all about it. And I told the interviewer this story, and so the headline in the Sun was, God told me to ring my lord, and quite beautifully corny, as only the Sun can be. The actors who played the Meldrum family became like a family to me. Donald Hewlett, who played my father, was very like my father just very sort of sociable and fairly suave. I suppose I came from a similarish family. Michael Knowles, who played my uncle, I absolutely adored. We lived near each other. I just loved his his way and his manner. And he hated having his hair touched. And David was very naughty, that he would spot things, little sort of foibles that people had, and he'd capitalize on them. So because Michael hated having his hair touched, he'd get people to sort of, you know, ruffle his hair, which, you know, he absolutely hated. So when you saw that happening, you know, and Michael was going, oh, like that was Michael doing it. I loved Katie, who played Sissy. She was lovely because she had children while we were doing the show. And she would, you'd see her, we'd be in makeup being about to record, and you'd see her on the phone, you know, we'd be sort of in the makeup studio, and she'd be going, all right, darling, night, night, yes, mommy loves you. And, you know, it was just that sort of, I suppose, yeah, realism of a family. We were like a family. So I absolutely adored them. I adored my grandmother. I adored the actress who played my grandmother. She was so like my grandmother. So there was a real, kind of caring and a closeness amongst us that was real. And we had such fun in recording it, you know, with everybody. Everybody was incredibly professional. We would be kind of joking about on set. And then as soon as it was, you know, stand by, everybody was just on it and ready to do it. But because there was fun and the relationship in actual life, I hope that kind of transported into the actual series. Yeah, so how... in terms of the filming, was it location or studio? We did 2 weeks in Norfolk, where we'd all go and stay there. And that was near where David lived. So that was nice and easy for him to kind of go home each night. And we would stay there and we'd do all the outdoor shots. So it was a dream, really. We had this beautiful stately home and we were in the grounds of that, sitting out in the sunshine. Chatting and then going doing our scenes, and all these beautiful vintage cars and vintage buses that we drive. So this, all the outdoor scenes for the whole series were shot there in Norfolk. And then the actual recording of the series, we would do in front of an audience each week. So we would record that episode in front of an audience. The scenes that they didn't see, so that some of those we would record in advance without an audience. But it was lovely to have the audience because it gave it a massive lift, and it would give us sort of an edge to it. And very often, because David and Jimmy were so experienced, they didn't need to do like 10 shots of the same thing. If they would know if they'd got it, which with comedy is really important, because if you keep repeating it, it stops becoming funny. So very often they'd go, yep, that's it, cut. And I'd go, oh, but I could have done that better. And they'd go, no, it's absolutely fine. Trust me. So yeah. Have I got a favorite character? That's a horrible question to ask me, because I just loved them all. I think if you absolutely forced me to come up with a favourite, I think it must be Sue Pollard's character. And Ivy, it's so hard to explain. I love the childlikeness of, I mean, I loved Sue anyway, just adored her as a person, love her. She's just such fun and she has such innocence and we were, you know, really good mates. But I just love that character. It's because Sue is so quirky and so different. She brings that to any character she plays. But Ivy had this sort of childlike innocence that really was, I suppose it was exploited by people, but it was just, it was adorable. It was adorable. It was refreshing. She was so great to work with. And I was so horrible to her. And, you know, David capitalized on that, you know, that I think in real life I'm considered to be quite a nice person, and David liked turning that on its head and just making me vile. You know, I mean, the audience would hiss. There was, I don't know if you remember an episode where I poured, Ivy finally gets to go to this big party, and I had this glass of red wine, and I said, well, you know, it's a bit like it was a bit like Cinderella and the Wicked Sisters, you know, well, you can't go to the party because you've got nothing to wear. And she was going, oh, Sissy, you know, Sissy had lent her this dress. And I got my glass of red wine, this beautiful silk dress on the bed, and I just calculatedly just poured it over the dress. It was absolutely, you know, and the audience gasped, you know, and hissed. It was dreadful. So yeah, the counterbalance of those two was brilliant. Any special memories or bloopers? I suppose two come to mind. I was thinking about when we were filming and how professional everybody was, but in between when they were setting up the shot and so on, we would lark about, but then that would stop just instantly when it was time to go. And we had the most amazing set, and they were all genuine, like 1920s artifacts and everything. And they were into sort of stuffed animals then. And there was a stuffed crocodile. If you imagine a crocodile not looking straight ahead, but kind of looking around the corner, I was concentrating and just, you know, thinking about my lines and my character. And Paul Shane got this crocodile that was looking around at you, and he suddenly just shoved it over my shoulders. This crocodile was in my face, caused me to absolutely scream. But a rather sweet story was when we were on location in Norfolk, and we'd have sort of caravans there where our makeup was put on, and I had to, my makeup and my hair took hours because it was all put in little pin curls. And so we were there like freezing cold in the morning, about 6 a.m. The year before that, I'd been engaged, and that had been a kind of source of great excitement amongst the cast. But the guy had broken it off before the second series, and it was actually my birthday. I was sitting in the caravan and I was feeling quite sorry for myself. It was my birthday this time last year. I had a fiance, I don't now, and I was feeling quite tearful, and it was cold and dark and everything. And suddenly the door opens and Sue Pollard comes in with a goldfish in a bowl, and she goes, "Happy birthday, Susie," she said, "this is to replace Charlie, and in time you'll grow to love him." So there we go. That just totally made my day. And every time I think of it, it makes me laugh. Was I asked to appear in any other Crofton Perry sitcoms? No, I wasn't, sadly. I'd love to have worked with them again. I'd have jumped at it. I absolutely loved the way that they took what they saw in you, or if there was any kind of relationship or buzz between you and somebody, and they used that. It was so creative and so exciting. And I love the fact that they knew when you'd done a take, they knew if they'd got it, you could absolutely trust them. So yeah, I'd have crossed the world to work with them. And I got on so well with them. I used to make cakes for the cast when it was anybody's birthday. You know, I'd make cakes. Susie would come in with this, you know, massive cake. So it was like one big family. And as you say, it's lovely that you're interviewing all the crew as well, because, you know, makeup and costume. Mary Husband made the my bridesmaids dresses when I got married, and you know, the whole crew, cast and crew, it was one big family. And I think, you know, David himself has loads of children, doesn't he? Loves big families, and I think that he created a big family with his work. He had, you know, these actors that he used and used again, so that was so him. So, you know, I'd have loved to, if there'd been something right, I'm sure he'd have asked me. But sadly, there wasn't. What you're doing is absolutely wonderful. You're preserving a lovely slice of history, and it's a lovely gift to to David and Jimmy's family. So well done, and thank you for asking me.
How sad, my lord.